Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Rush Limbaugh shared his comedy for years. Now you'll hear it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Hey, it is the Rob Carson Show. It's Wednesday. Hello, and welcome to it. Already August the 3rd. Big night last night for Republicans and for those who are supporters of Donald Trump, and I might add, endorsed by Donald Trump, because right now, and it's still that way, if Donald Trump gives you an endorsement, chances are you're going to win. You're going to win. I mean, unless there's some sort of an odd, some sort of a blip on the radar that might cause you to lose if you're a Trump-supported person. By and large, if you kiss the ring, you are going to be the candidate, and we're going to get into that and the reaction from the media. Some January 6th Republicans, people who voted for Trump's impeachment, went bye-bye last night. Went bye-bye. Career is over. Good luck. Good luck in the private sector. We wish you the very best. Still waiting on Carrie Lake's official victory speech in Arizona. Right now, ahead by about 12,000 votes in the state of Arizona, despite Democrats in Arizona doing their level best to cheat, steal, cover up ballots, send in ballots with non-magic signatures, and all that stuff. They're trying that. They're trying to do the, move the board pieces around overnight like they did in 2020, but it doesn't look like it's going to help them. But I do want to start with something that I talked about yesterday. Right now, I live in the state of Kansas. I have for about 6 years. I moved to the Kansas City area to pursue a radio job at a radio station there. The radio station decided that I was too expensive to continue my contract there, so they let me go to save them a little money, and that's cool. I don't blame them. But I was I moved to the Kansas side of the Kansas City area. I'm not sure exactly why, but anyway, I live Johnson County, Kansas. Johnson County, Kansas is a fairly liberal bastion in the state of Kansas. Very wealthy, by the way. And well, I live on the wrong side of the tracks. I live over off Santa Fe. It's not like wrong side of the tracks, but it's not exactly the right side of the tracks. It's not like, you know, parts of Johnson County and near Kansas City that are like, woo, mansions and all that stuff. We don't live there. We don't live there. We have a little fixer-upper over here, a 1987 house, and we live here, and I've lived in a bunch of different places. I've lived in Maryland. I'm glad I moved out of Maryland just because of when Trump was the president, it was a very bad place for Trump voters to live. And then COVID and all the BS that Larry Hogan and Democrats perpetrated on the children there, and then, of course, all the CRT and gender nonsense being taught in Maryland schools, I was glad to get the hell out of there. Minneapolis is wonderful. Lived in Minneapolis. Very left of center, by the way. Glad I don't live there anymore because it burned down in the summer of 2020 and it hasn't gotten much better. So let's see. Where else have I lived? In Hell on Earth, whatever. Anyway, Illinois. Lived in Springfield, Illinois for about 6 months. Did a radio show job there. Welcome to radio. Lived in Cincinnati. Loved me some Cincinnati. Cincinnati, great, great state, great town. Lived on the Kentucky side there. And then where else have I lived? Springfield, Missouri. That's where I met my wife. Lovely town. Lovely, beautiful, close to Branson and all that stuff. And the beautiful lake, Truman Lake down there and all that. The Table Rock, I should say. And very nice. And there are a lot of great things about that state. Kansas. Kansas is... a good place to raise a family. Okay, there you go. Kansas is a good place for your kids to go to school because the schools here are absolutely outstanding. One of the negatives, Kansas, relatively flat. The highest point in Kansas is literally a speed bump. It's like right up the street from me. There is a speed bump right there. Highest point in Kansas. I see people trying to hike up there all the time. It takes them about 25 seconds. No, actually about 5 seconds to climb the highest point in Kansas, which is the speed bump at the top of the small hill at the end of my block. Do I plan on living in Kansas the rest of my life? No, I don't. And it's nothing against Kansas. It's just not my thing. I need to be closer to some things. I'd kind of like to be a little closer to mountains. I'd like to be a little closer to history. I'd like to be a little bit closer to the ocean, you know. And that's the only thing, really. And then, of course, there's this whole, this act yesterday. The people of Kansas voted to keep unfettered abortion in Kansas. And there was this amendment that was proposed where people said, hey, here's the deal. We're not going to eliminate abortion altogether in the state of Kansas. We're not. We're going to put some restrictions on it. We are going to say it has to happen early. We want to make sure it doesn't happen as often as it has. We want to make sure that it isn't just used as birth control, which is what has happened with regard to Roe v. Wade for the last almost 50 years, where 60 million babies have never seen the light of day because somebody said, hey, I'll pay for your abortion. That's part of it. About 93% of abortions are in this country because of birth control. That's what they use it for. That said, living in Kansas, I got a lot of the mailers and I got a lot of the flyers, and I voted yes to limit abortion in the state of Kansas. Do I want abortion to become completely illegal in Kansas? No, I think there are some exceptions. I'm very grateful that my biological mother did not use one of those exceptions, which was that she was sexually assaulted, and she went ahead and had me. So that's really cool. But yesterday, in a state like states like Iowa and so many, they are controlled by liberal bastions, including Johnson County, including Lawrence, Kansas, the University of Kansas, Manhattan, Kansas. That's where the University K-State is, and consequently a lot of lefties voted. And they decided to just leave abortion as is. Right now, you essentially can come to Kansas when you're 8 months pregnant and have the baby removed and murdered right there in front of you. And then the reason why this passed is because a lot of money was dumped into the state from outside leftist groups trying to prop this up like some sort of victory now that Roe v. Wade has gone bye-bye, A lot of money being spent and a lot of lies being told, and they were very, very misleading in their mailers. There is at least one person in my household who voted no, said let's go ahead and keep abortion unfettered in the state of Kansas. I believe that person does not realize that the amendment that I was voting for would just limit abortions and not make it illegal altogether. But that said, you know, that's fine. You got to live with the possibility that babies are going to be killed until the day they're born. I actually already got a text from someone I know this morning, basically bragging that people said no, and now you can get unfettered abortion in the state of Kansas. And I just said, you know my story, right? Just, you know, thought you should know when you're dancing around and you're all happy. You know my story, right? I thought you should know that story. Yeah. And then also, you know, a whole lot of babies are going to die because of this. But see, as with so many things, if a liberal Democrat can't see it, it doesn't exist. You know, like a recession. There's no recession. I don't see it. Joe Biden doesn't see a recession. Where the hell's a recession? You know, it just kind of happens that way. It's women in Afghanistan. Their lives are a living hell now. Children can't go to school anymore. Little girls can't go to school anymore. It is abject poverty, drug addiction rising, people starving to death as a terrorist organization is in charge. But, you know, Democrats don't care because they can't see it. They can't see it. They don't think that you are struggling because, you know, they don't fill their car with gas. They send somebody to Whole Foods in D.C. to get their groceries and have them come back to their little apartment that they have. So if it doesn't, they don't see it, then it, of course, doesn't exist. But it does. That said, I guess the positive here is that maybe, because honestly, there's Kansas doesn't have much for tourism. People don't, they don't run big tourism campaigns for Kansas. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, Kansas. You drive out there, it's the wide open spaces. You see some prairies and stuff. And then out west, you see their red sands. My mother is from a little town out there in western Kansas that we went to a number of times when I was a kid. But Kansas, honestly, it's like you run a commercial for Kansas, like, come to Kansas for the skiing. Well, no, not exactly. No, maybe water skiing. If you can find a lake, you might try that. But as far as skiing, no. Come for the beaches. Well, no. There's a few little beaches, the man-made beaches and little lakes around Kansas and all that. But honestly, not so much. But if you look at some states in the nation with regard to unfettered abortion, why fly to California when you can come to Kansas? You know, you may not be able to, you know, hike in mountains, and you may not be able to go skiing, and you may not be able to lay out at the beach and you know, go see anything that's older than, like, I don't know, 150 years old as far as history is concerned. But by God in heaven, you can come to Kansas and have that baby aborted right up to birth, right up to birth. So it was a big victory for those. But don't let it fool you, because oddly enough, the approval rating for the Supreme Court went up since Roe v. Wade was rescinded. You did. So you can dump millions and millions of dollars into a state with large liberal enclaves and lie about what this is all about. And then I have a slavish media involved. All of the local TV stations and newspapers, they were completely down with unfettered access to abortion in Kansas. And the putting restrictions on it was essentially, oh, they're going to take away abortion altogether. That was a lie. That was like saying that, well, Clarence Thomas doesn't want good interracial marriage because he voted for Roe v. Wade. It makes about as much sense as that. And yesterday, you know, I day before yesterday, I was driving over by my gym. I saw all these nice people out there, and they're supporting pro-life, and they're Christian, and there's teenage girls out there, you know, with their moms and dads, and people driving by in their little Priuses with coexist bumper stickers on the back, spelled in religious symbols, screaming, F you. An 18-year-old pro-life volunteer was punched, shoved, and cursed by a woman after the volunteer knocked on the door of a home right near me in lovely Overland Park, Kansas. Grace Harstock was going door-to-door. Her name is Grace. Isn't that nice? She was going door-to-door Sunday in Overland Park to let residents know about Tuesday's ballot measure to amend the state constitution and declare there's no right to an abortion in Kansas. At one home, the woman at the door told Harstock, no, I'm sorry, I don't think you want to talk to us. And as she was, as Grace was politely thanking her and walking away, heard somebody inside there screaming inside from the house. Said, don't apologize to her, Mom. With that, the screaming woman ran out of the house, began chasing Harstock, yelling at her, after which she shoved her in the chest with both hands, began hitting her in the head with closed fists. Harstock tried to protect herself and run away, and the attacker's mother told the daughter to stop the violence. This, according to Students for Life, the organization was out there doing nice things instead of, you know, I don't know, sucking on fentanyl. Anyway, the woman continued to follow the teenage girls down the street and said, I hope you get raped, and I hope you get run over by a car. So there you go. There you go. Harstock noted that it's unfathomable that the pro-choice movement thinks claims to be pro-woman and yet attacks women who don't agree with their narratives. It's not surprising to me that a person who advocates for violence in the womb would hesitate to attack the pro-life woman like myself. And you're right. They're an ugly, violent mob. Those who are all in favor of unfettered abortion are an ugly, violent mob. What am I thinking of the word? Vulgar mob. They're vulgarians. That's what they are. Is there nothing associated with faith? I got a text this morning. Where the hell was this? I posted something this morning, and it said, a big F you, a big middle finger to me personally, and said that I'll share it. I've got it here. It's pretty good, though. But I wrote back and I said, wow, you really, you're just a sad person. Because otherwise, why engage this kind of behavior? I mean, honestly, why engage it? So that's going on in the state of Kansas. If you think it's a victory for the pro-choice movement and pro-abortion, you're really sadly mistaken. It was a giant lie campaign propped up with massive out-of-state money, and the state is run by very liberal bastions, very left of center. So that's why that happened here. On the positive note, Trump beat the crap out of everybody. I've got audio from that coming up. Your phone calls are welcome here at 800-922-6680. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show.
The SS Bitanic sets sail on January 20th, 2021. Now she's taking on water in a big way. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Now it's just like, it's your body. Who the f*** am I to tell you what to do with your body? So that always made sense. All right? However, I still think you're killing a baby. See? That's where it gets weird. Like, I sit on the fence and the whole thing makes sense to me. Whatever anybody's saying, like, don't tell me what to do. It's my body, my choice. That's right, man. She's right. Leave me the hell alone. Why are you killing a baby? Well, I mean, there is that.
No, there is that, yeah. The whole baby killing thing, yeah, that's part of this.
I mean, you know, if we're going to be honest, that is the whole purpose of the procedure.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going in there because you got an earache. You're going in there because you're like, I got a baby in me. Get the f*** out of here.
That is Bill Burr. Bill Burr, left-leaning Bill Burr, who, by the way, is very, very pro-life. I know it sounds kind of, he's in an interracial marriage, he's got biracial children, and he's pro-life. It's kind of funny that way. But you know what, honestly, if you can't see the babies being torn from their wombs and thrown into a dumpster like they did in Washington, D.C., just a couple months ago, they found a truck outside of a late-term abortion clinic, and they got a box, and inside the box were all of these babies that could have actually lived outside of the womb, and the mayor of D.C. just let it go. Just kind of like all those black lives that are lost in inner cities. It only matters if a white cop shoots a black person. Otherwise, it doesn't mean D-word for Richard. But that's the world we live in. And I'm just going to say about, and I'm not saying those who are, who voted in favor of not allowing some restriction on abortion in the state of Kansas are bad people. I think they are very misinformed, and they've been played. And generally, if you just look at the front page and it says, Kansas wants to outlaw abortions, women are going to die with coat hanger abortions in alleys, which is not happening nationally at all and never did. That was a lie. But if you're just going to pay attention to the headlines and what you see on the local television stations, all of them in the entire state, and all the newspapers, all of them in the entire state, then you're probably going to go, you know, I want to keep abortion safe and legal in Kansas, when actually what you're doing is you're making it unfettered and you can kill a baby at any time. And also the thing, the restrictions on abortion would have included your tax money in the state of Kansas not going to pay for abortion. Oh, you know, oh, that's terrible. Blah, blah. Oh, and I found the response to the Getter post that I did this morning. I wrote, and you know, this was by what I was actively looking for ways that living in Kansas could be more unpleasant. And I found it. And then I got this from Adam. Adam writes me, and it's got a girl power with a woman's a symbol with it's a pink, and it's got a woman's finger with the middle finger sticking up at me. And it says, banning abortion based on the teachings of Christianity would be establishing a religion to the First Amendment. Okay, first of all, Adam, you're an idiot. All right. Clearly, you're not paying attention. Christianity had nothing to do with this at all. And by the way, there are other faiths and a lot of people who are not of faith who believe in allowing a child to be born, because that potential lives in all of us. That's how you got there, Adam. You unpleasant person. There you go. So it wasn't about the Bible. God and the Bible are nowhere in the legislation at all. And honestly, if you want to go after me on freedom of speech and establishing a religion and all that crap, I will debate you anytime, any day of the week. But you're wrong on this, because it had nothing to do with this. It's about life. That's what it's about. It's about the life that you have and the life that someone could have, and you deciding that someone else shouldn't have what you have. Let's go to Mike in Nottingham, Maryland. Hello, Mike, and welcome to the Rob Carson Show.
Hi, Rob. Rob, I heard something amazing yesterday morning very early on Christian Broadcasting. by Ken Ham, who is a scientist, but he's a Christian. And he's doing a series, Life Begins at Conception, and he said this amazing thing. There is a heartbeat at 22 days of life.
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, we can look at all sorts of ultrasounds. That's one of the reasons why the left doesn't want ultrasounds, doesn't want women who are considering abortion to get an ultrasound, because it makes the baby real. It anthropomorphizes the fetus, which should actually make sense, because anthropomorphizing is giving something human-like characteristics. In this case, it's a human. Mike, I appreciate your thoughts on this. Listen, my mother, if she had been raped and if the abortifacient RU4086 was ready for her the day after she was raped, I would be down with that, because I can't imagine what she went through. But I feel so lucky to have been born for her. I remember I spoke to my sister when she told me that I had been, my mother had been raped, and I was given up for adoption. And I said, I'm not sure if your mom would have wanted to meet me, because I was the product of such a trauma. And she looked at me like, are you kidding? I said, I can't imagine what she went through. Would I have liked to have thanked her? Oh, my God in heaven, yes. Would it made a difference in her life? I don't know. But honestly, it's about life and not religion. All right, more on this and your calls coming up. This is the Rob Carson Show. It is a Wednesday edition of the Rob Carson Show. Man, August is just flying by. Unbelievable. We have rain where I live today. We had hot weather with sun 2 weeks ago, so that was caused by climate change. Then it rained for 3 days, which was caused by climate change. Then it was dry again, which was caused by climate change. And today it's raining again because of climate change. And it also flooded in Missouri and Kentucky over the last week or so. And Kamala Harris says the reason why it flooded in Missouri was because of we haven't spent enough money on climate change. And I moved from Missouri in 1993 because I had another radio job. But also there was massive flooding. Right there along the Missouri and Mississippi rivers, which is where it always happens, in a place called the floodplain. The floodplain. So there you go. I hope things are good where you are. I just want to mention we are adding a brand new affiliate, WJFV, AM 1650, the voice of Hampton Roads, ladies and gentlemen, in Norfolk, Virginia. And then we are adding KVI Seattle for our weekend show. And some markets, what they'll do is they will add the weekend show first, kind of, you know, to their toe in the water. And then they go, holy crap, let's put him on during the week. And that's generally the reaction. It's kind of like that. It's holy crap or holy bleep, you know, whatever. But they see the performance of the show outperforming our main competition in places like Baltimore by 260%, you know, things like that. So I want to welcome the new WJFV AM 1650, voice of Hampton Roads, and of course KVI Seattle to the fold. Glad to have you here, guys. I greatly appreciate you joining and share with others, because I know there are a lot of people who don't live in these markets where we have stations, and you stream the show all over the country in great places like New Hampshire and Washington State and Kansas, where I live. Yeah, all that. So this is the New York Times writing this morning, and for those who don't understand why Trump-endorsed candidates are kicking arse, it's not because we are members of some sort of a cult, mind-control cult. No, no, no. That happened to America when Barack Obama was the president. Yeah, pretty much. Barack Obama didn't deliver on anything except for, you know, fundamentally changing America. Otherwise, a fairly mediocre president, weakened us internationally, you know, spent the crap out of money, and the economy succeeded slightly in spite of his policies. Then things really blew up when Donald Trump became the president. And the reason why we like Donald Trump is why, kids? Why do we like Donald Trump? Is it because it's a cult? Is it because, we're mind-controlled robots? No, it's because he did what he said he was going to do. I didn't want to vote for Donald Trump. 2015, I was like, who is this guy? I seen him on The Apprentice. I'm not a big fan of this guy. And then, as each of these dominoes fell, as Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio and all these other candidates fell, emerged this man named Donald Trump, and he really gave the press what for. And then we saw his opponents attacking Trump supporters in line while they were going to see him speak, and we saw masses of crowds of people, 25, 50,000 people going to see Donald Trump. And then I kind of got it. That he was going to do some things that would shake up the establishment in Washington, D.C. He promised that he would eliminate two regulations for every new one proposed, and he did that, and he promised everything, and he got black unemployment to the lowest rate in recorded history, Hispanic unemployment, lowest rate in history, highest female unemployment in the history of the country, as long as we've been keeping track, all of these things. And then 2020, and he beat Hillary Clinton, and he ultimately proved that even a Russia conspiracy hoax bought and paid for by the Democrat Party couldn't take him down. Back to the New York Times. Primary victories in Arizona and Michigan for allies of Donald Trump on Tuesday reaffirmed his continued influence over the Republican Party. It's about his influence, but it's more importantly his policies and what he did. And who hates him? That's another thing. It's who really hates him. Because the more we hear people who hate Donald Trump, like Liz Cheney or Adam Kinzinger, the more we boot them out, and the more it strengthens our resolve to support Donald Trump and his policies. And it says, as the former president has sought to cleanse the party of his critics. Really? Really? That's what the Republican Party has tried to do with Trump supporters. And Trump acolytes install loyalists in key swing state offices and scare off potential 2024 rivals with a show of brute political force. You know, he's not forcing anybody into doing anything. He's just endorsing people, and the people in those states are going, oh, hell yeah, because I know that if Donald Trump endorses my candidate, he stands for what I stand for. That's why Donald Trump didn't give you a clear endorsement of the state of Missouri. He didn't support Eric Greitens because Eric Greitens is a scumbag. And he didn't give an official endorsement for Eric Schmidt because Eric Schmidt had been kind of leaning rhino. And then Hartzler, hell with her. She's a rhino. She done. And Greitens came in third place. So otherwise, it was a force, to be reckoned with. Trump's choice in Arizona for Senate, Blake Masters, won a crowded primary, as did Secretary of State Mark Fincham, an election denier, who has publicly acknowledged his affirmation with the far-right Oath Keepers militia group, which if you ask anybody in the Oath Keepers go, what? Really? I don't even know anything about the, they're like QAnon. Well, you really? I have no idea. By Wednesday morning, Mr. Trump's pick in the governor's race, Carrie Lake, had taken a narrow lead over Karen Taylor Robinson, the candidate backed by Mike Pence. And Mike Pence is showing his increased irrelevance because, you know what? He's a toad. And he's an establishment Republican who would not even be on the radar had Donald Trump made him a VP pick. Let's see. Rusty Bowers, a Republican speaker of the Arizona House who gained national attention after testifying against Mr. Trump in the January 6th congressional hearings, lost his bid for state Senate in Michigan. A House Republican who voted to impeach Trump, Representative Peter Meyer, was defeated by a former Trump administration official, John Gibbs. And Mr. Trump's last-minute choice for governor, the conservative commentator Tudor Dixon, who has echoed his false claims of election fraud, easily won her primary. Well, they're calling it false claims of election fraud, but nobody has proven that it was false. And I would venture to say anybody who says there wasn't and says you prove that there was election fraud, I'll say prove that the election wasn't stolen. Here's some audio from Peter Meyer talking about January the 6th and of course, voting for the removal of Donald Trump from office.
I remember the only message I saw, and this was right after we were evacuated from the House chamber, was the only message that I saw from the president.
By the way, a couple days after January 6th, the mainstream media was saying there was at least $100 million worth of damage to the interior of the Capitol. It turns out they opened the Capitol 2 hours later. There was little, if if any damage at all, including smoke damage. So they lied about that. And then Nancy Pelosi is holding 16,000 hours of videotape inside the Capitol that would show people being peaceful.
With him attacking Mike Pence and criticizing Mike Pence, criticizing the vice president, questioning his courage, questioning his patriotism for not just waving a magic wand and overturning the election somehow.
Nope, just wanted a hearing. Just wanted a hearing that day, actually. Could have been done.
But in the moment, I thought, okay, well, that...
But Reichstag, there you go. Just one word, Reichstag.
Maybe the president isn't seeing what's happening on TV. After we knew that a woman had been shot and killed, it was after we knew...
Yeah, that was Ashley Babbitt. She was murdered by a Capitol Police officer. She actually tried to prevent a guy from breaking the window out, punched him in the face. Then she proceeded to enter the window and was shot in the neck by a police officer at close range. He was never investigated at all and never interviewed, just cleared.
The dozens of Capitol Police officers have been injured.
Hundreds of them actually injured the summer of 2020, and also at the protests in front of the White House, which included the attempted arson of St. John's Church. Dozens of Capitol Police officers and Secret Service agents wounded, including for life.
And unfortunately, one of them, Officer Brian Sicknick, who was beaten to death with a fire extinguisher.
That didn't happen. He had a stroke the next day. It was natural causes, another lie. This is why you're no longer in office, Dubas.
Sure, he was still in the hospital then and wouldn't pass for another day. We actually had his memorial service in the rotunda today. And I remember thinking...
Yeah, it was really quite an embarrassment, actually, for Congress to do that, to use him as a political pawn by putting his body in the Capitol Rotunda, the highest honor you could possibly imagine. And I'm not saying he didn't deserve an honor like that, but it really was quite embarrassing. Here's another Republican who was defeated last night, Dan Newhouse. He was an anti-Trumper and a pro-impeachment hawk.
Before the president misinformed and inflamed a violent mob who tore down the American flag.
He's wearing a mask.
And brutally beat Capitol Police officers. Madam Speaker, we must all do better.
Capitol Police officers also let protesters in. Even AOC said, why did the Capitol Police let the protesters in? I don't know, maybe because 14 left-wing groups had actually infiltrated the Trump speech supporters on January the 6th, and even Newsweek acknowledged that.
These articles of impeachment are flawed, but I will not use process as an excuse. There is no excuse for President Trump's actions. The president took an oath to defend the country.
Yeah, and he was impeached, and they found no evidence whatsoever that he had created a what they would call an insurgency. It was a lie. It was a gigantic lie. And those who voted in that direction, you're not being beaten by Trump supporters. You're being beaten by the truth. You're being beaten because you decided to bed down with radical leftists who do anything to keep a man out of office who would turn the swamp upside down, who would take those who live high on the hog and spend their entire lives in Washington, D.C., telling us how to live ours, who would control every aspect of our lives, shut down our churches, shut down our businesses, and whatnot. And if this is a vote against that, that's what it's a vote against. It's not a vote against or for Donald Trump necessarily, although, you know, the fact that Donald Trump did what he said he was going to do certainly helped. Tuesday's primaries in five states, Arizona, Michigan, Missouri, Kansas, Washington State, kicked off his final six-week stretch of races that will provide the fullest picture of the Republican Party's priorities in 2022. So that is the news. Trump-backed candidates win primaries in Kansas and Missouri. Peter Meyer, bye-bye, hasta la vista, see you later. The second of the so-called Trump impeachment 10 to lose re-election after South Carolina Representative Tom Rice lost to Trump-backed challenger in June. Washington Representatives Jamie Herrera, Butler, and Dan Newhouse were also facing challenges from their own party on Tuesday, but CNN hasn't projected whether they'll be announcing to the general election. We'll find out. And again, we're still waiting on official word out of Arizona with regard to with Kerry Lake. Blake Masters, yeah, I mentioned this, also won big in Arizona in a gigantic fashion. Arizona House Speaker Rusty Bowers lost his Senate bid after refusing Trump's pleas to overturn the election, as I said. So some big things happened last night. Some negative news in the state of Kansas with regard to placing some restrictions on abortion, but not making it illegal as those who were against that that bill claimed it was. So that's the big news as far as last night. And as things develop today, I'll continue to share. On the way, we've got some news. Cassidy Hutchinson, who actually testified against Donald Trump, made up a story about him trying to grab control of the presidential limo, apparently kept working for Donald Trump 2 months after January the 6th. Bad news for Joe Biden, worst approval of any president ever polled as far as a sixth quarter approval. We'll get to that in your phone calls at 800-922-6680. This is the Rob Carson Show.
If the mainstream media, big social media, and the Democrat Party say you spread disinformation, it means you know the truth.
The important is you said the truth.
It's the Rob Carson Show.
Last night, Donald Trump continued his massively successful endorsement campaign. Candidates that he's endorsed over 95% of the time have gone on to win their primaries, which means...
can't touch me.
Nobody can touch you.
My rallies are so large. Makes the Dems say, oh my God, thank you for blessing me with the gift of gab and the hot wife. He feels good. Will you come see a super dope homeboy from NYC? And I know I'm as much. This is a man they can't touch.
Mike Pence can't get him to vote.
Mm-mm. Can't touch me. Crooked Hillary can't, and I don't really want her to. Can't touch me. Sleepy Joe wishes he were me. Okay?
Sean Farris.
Can't touch me. My name is DJ Trump, and I'm magic on the stump. Can't touch me. I've been around the country from New York to L.A. I speak to a lot of people that play YMCA.
Well, he used to.
Kamala speaks to no one, and Biden can't draw flies.
Nope.
And still the fake news media thinks you voted for those guys.
Can't touch me.
My rallies are on Newsmax, and Fox just can't be found.
Oh, yeah.
And all the fake news media, I take them to the ground. Can't touch me. How's your approval rating, Sleepy Joe? Can't touch me. COVID is more popular than Sleepy Joe. Can't touch me. I fill stadiums. Sleepy Joe can't fill a shoebox. Can't touch me. Together we're going to save America, believe me.
All right, we got Barbara from Baltimore on the phone. Hello there, Barbara. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for taking my call. Love that song.
I know.
You are so on fire today. And I'm just waiting to see what's going to happen in Arizona. But,
Oh, yes.
You know, watching to see what – I just believe that Carrie Lake is going to pull that one out.
Yes.
It's so exciting, and I just – I'm kind of out of breath.
Barbara, let me ask you this. I want to ask you this question. Why do you vote for Donald Trump? Is it because you are a cult member? Is it because you just worship at the altar of Trump? Why do you support Donald Trump? Clearly, you're a mindless robot, Barbara.
Well, maybe I am a mindless robot, but I tell you, Donald Trump, I knew it's just like you said, he's going to do what he said he's going to do. And I wanted to just bring it to, in a short period of time I have, to talk about Dan Cox and what I saw happening this past weekend.
Please do, because Dan Cox is the Republican candidate Trump endorsed in Maryland. Go ahead.
Yes. And I was down canvassing. We're canvassing for fraudulent votes. We're doing that through mdvoter.org, and it was so enlightening to learn about that. But one of the things that I'm finding out is that, you know, Larry Hogan and the people who supported Schultz are putting a damper on real conservatives. And I just like to say this to everyone who can hear my voice. Republicans need to pull it together. The ones right now who have won their primaries and they're still not supporting Dan Cox, vote for them, hold your nose, and vote for them this time, but start planning for the next 4 years, because those people need to go. Every Republican, every conservative, everyone who wants to keep Maryland a wonderful state that it is. I'm not.
Well, Barbara, you live in Baltimore, Barbara. I mean, what the hell? I mean, just look at Baltimore and Democrat leadership just in Baltimore, and tell me you want more of that statewide.
Exactly. That's what they better look at. They're going to have, if they think that not supporting Dan Cox is not going to be detrimental to this state, that's why I just can't understand it. I mean, it's beautiful out there in Eastern and Talbot County, beautiful country out there. And those people have wonderful communities. If you think crime won't be exported to your area, you're wrong. When I came here, Owens Mills was great. Towson Town Mall. I used to love to go there. I went places. Now I can't even go park my car without having my gun on my hip. So I'm just saying, if you don't want that to come to your area, you better get behind Dan Cox.
All right, Barbara, I got to run. I got to run, Barbara. Thank you for the phone call. I do appreciate it. If you want another, if you want to follow Larry Hogan, who, by the way, is a an acolyte of his, is Michael Steele. Michael Steele, now a host on MSNBC, for crying out loud. And, of course, he was the lieutenant governor under Ehrlich, and Ehrlich was a rhino. Go that way and continue to make Maryland suck gubernatorially, because it's a glorious state the Democrats have driven into the pits of hell. Let's take a break. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show. Hey, guys, it's Carson. Zenith Firearms is an American-owned and operated company based in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Central Virginia. Initially founded in 2014, Zenith built its reputation for superb customer service through firearm and ammunition imports. With many years of expertise in the platform, Zenith is now proudly manufacturing its own line of U.S.-made roller-delayed blowbacks. Zenith provides the American people with a premium product made right here in the United States, starting with the introductory model, the ZF5. Newly released in 2022, the ZF5 is based on the most popular and iconic 9mm submachine gun, the MP5. While the ZF5 is available immediately, Zenith's three compact personal defense models are available for pre-order and will begin shipping later this year. Zenith proudly supports our nation's military, law enforcement, and responsibly armed citizens protecting the Second Amendment. Check out Zenith Firearms at zenithfirearms.com. That's zenithfirearms.com, or like and subscribe to their social media pages.
Rush Limbaugh shared his comedy for years. Now you'll hear it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
It is the Rob Carson Show. Another huge victory for Trump-endorsed candidates last night in primaries in a number of different states. Still waiting on Kerry Lake as the official candidate for the Republican Party in the state of Arizona. Nancy Pelosi coming back from Taiwan. She's no longer in Taiwan. Some people are calling it a detente. I'm calling it dementia, I think, actually, would be a better word for it. Dementia, not detente.
Nothing would be finer than Pelosi over China in the morning.
She gone.
On a broom was riding. She was really gliding in the morning.
That is so sexist.
Pelosi is in Taiwan. Her husband Paul's confused.
He don't.
Thought she said Taiwan on.
Nope.
Alcohol he abused. Paul wanted to try it, to be the guy to fly it over China. It would have been unnerving to shoot a plane a swerving over China. Nancy's now in Taiwan and she's causing a stink. Paul's in a bar on his seventh drink, and nothing would be finer than Pelosi over China in the morning.
That is Jim Gossett. Two S's and two T's, Atlanta. He's going to be at 3070 Windward Plaza, Alpharetta, Georgia, coming up on the 27th of this month, the 27th, which is a Saturday. If you'd like to get tickets, 678-829-SHOW, 678-829-SHOW. So Nancy Pelosi departed Taiwan late yesterday after a 19-hour visit that included visits with the country's legislature, the president, Tsai Ing-wen, and an ongoing barrage of hateful invective from neighboring China. They surrounded the island, by the way. China's saying that they're going to strike us. I mentioned yesterday that we don't need to go to war with China. China's already getting everything it wants. I mean, it really is. The man in the White House right now is handing China everything they want, including 1 million barrels of our strategic oil reserve, among other things. And it only cost him about $30 million. And control of a $1.5 billion hedge fund by the president's crack-addicted son, who has no experience or knowledge of anything. Unless it's, you know, like hiring prostitutes and buying crack. Pelosi is the first visit by an American politician of such high rank to go to the country in years. I could think of no other reason why she would visit other than they know that China's copacetic. They're willing to suffer this indignity, although it's really not an indignity. It is meant to boost Joe Biden in the polls. It's kind of like what happened yesterday with, or Sunday, I should say, with the killing of Zawahiri in Kabul. And I'm going to get to that very shortly because it's weird. It's weird. They don't have a body. They don't have any DNA. And they have reports from 2 years ago across numerous news agencies in the area that say that he died a couple years ago. So we'll get to that. But anyway, here's Nancy Pelosi talking about, Tiananmen Square decided to poke the pit bull a little bit more, talking about Tiananmen Square. She was at Tiananmen Square right after Tiananmen Square. For those of you who are millennials, Tiananmen Square was when it was following the heels of the protest that took down the Berlin Wall. Some students and others in China decided that they could probably do the same thing in the same time frame that happened in Berlin. But instead of falling, instead of a peaceful revolution, the Chinese Communist Party and the army went in and slaughtered everybody, just slaughtered them, shot them to death, crushed their bodies with tanks, and literally washed their bodies into the storm drains. Thought you should know about that. But anyway, here's Nancy Pelosi yesterday talking through a mask, of course.
And again, we come in friendship. We thank you for your leadership. We want the world to recognize that.
Even though the United States does not recognize the independence of Taiwan, then why the hell are you there?
With that, again, I thank you, Vice President Tsai, for your hospitality, for your kind words. I'll just go back to Tiananmen Square.
She also went to Ukraine right after they passed the $60 billion for Ukraine for no reason at all.
Square for a moment. That was bipartisan. It was over 30 years ago. It was bipartisan when we were on Tiananmen Square. And we were there specifically.
I don't know. I think there's a couple reasons why I think that she was there. A, one of them is to distract from Joe Biden's ungodly unpopularity and the fact that the Democrat Party is going down in flames in November and again in 2024. That, or she wanted to go to Taiwan to see where all of the products from Pier 1 Imports, where they're made. There's that. Because you ever see the sticker on that? Always is made in Taiwan. And if it's not made in Taiwan, it's China. And almost everything you own is made in Taiwan or China. But anyway, that, or she wanted to get involved with the supply chain issues that are affecting her, and that is to resume the exports of Dalmatian pelts so she could complete the glorious coat that she has been trying to put together for years. That was the other things that I think might have been driving her desire to go there. Real quick, a California judge, a San Francisco judge, there was a law that allowed illegals and other foreign nationals to vote in the same local elections as citizens, and a judge there, Superior Court Judge Richard Ulmer, overturned the city's ordinance that was first passed in 2016, allowing foreign nationals, including illegal aliens, to vote in citywide school board elections so long as they are the parent of a school-aged child and are not incarcerated or out on parole. There you go. It's kind of, I saw this headline. This is from Breitbart. 2018, the city had spent almost $400,000 to register a total of 61 foreign nationals to vote in the school board elections. What? That sounds like what they'd spend on housing 61 homeless people in San Francisco. They always, you know, really, really screw things up. So the ordinance was in violation of the California Constitution, which specifically states the United States citizens 18 years of age and resident in the state may vote. Same thing happened when the New York Supreme Court similarly struck down a New York City law that allowed foreign nationals to vote in citywide elections so long as they had lived in the city for at least 30 days. So there you go. Oh, I just heard thunder outside. That's a welcome sound. That is, thank you, climate change. You're the best. I'm just going to go out and start all three cars in the driveway and just let them run. So maybe it'll run some more. Maybe it'll rain some more. So I'm just going to go start them up, lock the doors, come inside the house. Glorious, glorious carbon dioxide emissions. Here's another one. And here's another, I won't do that one on the radio. There is another way to expel carbon dioxide, but I'm not going to do it here because there's other stuff in it, including sulfur. Here's another interesting story today. Former President Donald Trump. White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson, who was the end-all as far as the January 6th hearings that were produced by ABC Television. We're told there's even more. We're told it's even more. It's like, wow. It's like, remember in the 1970s, there was a show called the Circus of the Network Stars. It was like Dancing with the Stars, but instead of people that are kind of washed up B-stars dancing, they did dangerous high wire acts. But it's kind of like that if they had the worst stars ever. That's kind of what the January 6th testimony is like. Look, we've got the Cunningham kid who went off to college from Happy Days. See, the guy you only saw one. His name was Chuck. We're gonna have him on. He's gonna be juggling flaming torches. That's what the January 6th hearings were like. There's a hat tip to all you Gen Xers out there. Anyway, Cassidy Hutchinson was supposed to be this amazing person. She heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from another that Donald Trump had been trying to take over the limousine, the beast, to get the Secret Service, who are highly trained killing machines, to turn the car around and go back to the Capitol. Well, it turns out that didn't really happen. And then ultimately in the last session of the January 6th hearings, they said, there was an angry exchange. Cassidy Hutchinson also said she was summoned to the room where Donald Trump had been in the White House, and there was a broken plate on the floor and some ketchup on the wall. Which, I mean, remove the bastard. Throw him in jail. I mean, who the hell breaks China on a wall and gets ketchup on the floor? My God in heaven. Sounds like a good Saturday night at my house, you know, just accidentally dropping a plate in the kitchen, and it happens, or wine glass. So anyway, Cassidy Hutchinson, she, you know, essentially became she called Donald Trump unpatriotic. She said that Donald Trump, you know, tried to, you know, do all this stuff. And it turns out she kept working for Trump on the taxpayer payroll as a post-presidential coordinator from January 20th through April 1st, an annualized salary of $90K. That's pretty good for a 23-year-old. It pretty well is. Here's what I think happened. Cassidy Hutchinson, a very young and very naive woman, could be a man, either way, 23 years old, Washington, D.C., internship becomes a gig, and then she gets in the middle of something, somebody tells her, hey, Cassidy, here's the deal. If you appear before this hearing, you won't be questioned. You won't be challenged in any way, shape, or form. You can say anything you want about the president. Oh, by the way, here are the things we want you to say about the president. If you could just say these for us, then we guarantee that we won't go after you like we did with Peter Navarro and other members of the Trump administration. We won't destroy them like we have them because you're a young person and you don't have a lot of money. So what we're going to do is we're going to have you read these talking points that won't be challenged in front of this this kangaroo court. And then what we'll do is you'll be able to once again hold a job in Washington, D.C. and maybe even get a position on MSNBC. What do you say? That's my theory. I'm sticking by it. Sticking by it. So, yeah, she basically kept working for the Trump administration, even though she said that Donald Trump was unpatriotic and attempted to wrest control of the beast out of the Secret Service agent's hand. Literally, I think she said he tore the steering wheel off the column and, using mind control from the dark side, steered the car toward the Capitol like it was his own Death Star. It happened just like that, she said. So coming up, got a little bad news from Biden's six-quarter approval, the lowest of any president ever polled. Going to get into that. Got some new monkeypox information coming up. Oh, the Senate finally passed a bill 10 years later to help veterans who were exposed to toxic burn pits. Thank you, oh, dear leaders. You're so wonderful. Tried to, put a bunch of other crap on the legislation, but it managed to go through because people saw that they were trying to do what they always do in D.C., and that is to muck up things. Let's take a break. The number here is 800-922-6680. This is the Rob Carson Show.
His first grade teacher said he talked out of turn. Worse after he's missed a day. Well, things haven't changed. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Jason Miller. He's a former Trump aide, and we're going to talk to him about some of the victories that Trump has seen, particularly last night in several states around the country. I believe five altogether. Trump candidates just completely destroyed the rhino competition. So we'll get his thoughts on that. Also, Getter, where you can find me. Getter, G-E-T-T-R, is one of the social media platforms that I really spent a lot of time on, along with Truth Social, which is Donald Trump's version of that. We'll talk about the exponential growth of Getter and how it's resonating not only in this country but around the world. Freedom of speech is glorious. It really is. And until you have it taken away, you don't realize how great it is. People on the very far left in this country, you don't have to worry about being censored by big social media like conservatives have been. I have more than I've got dozens, hundreds, thousands of examples. And until you have that happen to you, you don't realize how tenuous our place and time in the world, being born or moving to the United States, is in the world. And so we'll talk about all that stuff coming up. Dick Morris has got a new book. It's called The Return. It's about Donald Trump's running for president in 2024. He says that Donald Trump has a secret plan. He faces three threats, but Biden will never be elected. I'll just say that. Dick Morris says he can never be reelected. I say he will never be elected, not because so many people are saying, oh, yeah, he doesn't have a chance, but because I've always said he'll never make it, okay? If he does, and God willing, he lives that long, he will not be able to, as though he is able to run the country now, but certainly it'll be even more obvious that, you know, I mean, literally, it'll be weekend of Bernie's if he decides to run. Literally. So anyway, The Return, you can get it for free. It's about $28, but you just go to thereturn911.com, thereturn911.com. If you'd like a free copy of that, you'll learn about the Newsmax newsletter, which is awesome. I write for that, and you'll also be able to get the book. Get the book. Biden's sixth quarter approval is the lowest of any president ever polled. You know, maybe they need to field test words like ultra. Like ultra, isn't ultra supposed to be bad if you're an ultra MAGA? Even though if you want like a better dishwashing detergent, you know, reformulated, you put ultra on it. You know, it's like Ultra Tide or Ultra Dawn. Is that what you do? They decided that Ultra MAGA was bad. They're going to have to come up with some sort of a prefix before Joe Biden's name. Not to be confused with a pronoun. That's completely different. But maybe a prefix like totally awesome, excellent, happy family, Joe Biden. Kind of inspired by a Chinese restaurant menu in the United States. Joe Biden's approval ratings through the first six quarters follow the lowest point any president on record, 38% in the new Gallup survey of more than 1,000 adults. The firm also reported that Biden's average approval rating over the first year and half of his presidency is the lowest point of any president in the polls' 74-year history, meaning that Joe Biden was single and dating when this thing started. According to Gallup, 38%, 59% disapproval, record high disapproval. This with the slavish approval of the mainstream media and covering every scandal. Imagine how sucktastic he would be if the truth was being told about he and his son and their business dealings and all of that stuff. It'd be crazy, right? Imagine if the FBI wasn't bedded down before the election with Joe Biden by restricting any access to Hunter Biden's laptop and calling what's on there misinformation and disinformation, even though we know it was all true. Imagine how negative it would be, you know. Be crazy. 45% said they strongly disapproved of Biden's presidency, 14% moderately disapproved, 13% strongly approved, but those people also can't feed themselves and don't know what day it is, while 25% approved only moderately. I could read some more numbers, but it really becomes kind of like putting a bunch of vegetables in a food processor. You're like, blah, blah, 31, blah, blah, 45, blah, blah, whatever. So I'll just go to a quote from Gallup. No president elected in his first term has ever had a lower six-quarter average than Biden, although Jimmy Carter's and Donald Trump's ratings were only slightly better, 42%. Well, it's because Donald Trump got pummeled since the day he rode down the escalator and announced his candidacy. Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, and Ronald Reagan also averaged below majority approval, by the way. And Biden sunk to a record low of 36.8% approval, according to Real Clear Politics. So the only thing that he could do really to improve his ratings right now would be to call himself something that is more appealing than the word Biden. Some possible alternatives would be toenail fungus or turd bucket. So you could go with President Turd Bucket or President Toenail Fungus, and then his approval ratings would actually go up. Would actually go up. And by the way, I believe 38% of Hispanics used to approve of Joe Biden, now only 13%. That's been precipitous. A lot of Asian people as well, by the way. Thought you should know that. New polling numbers from Pew Research. Pew, pew, pew. Says that Biden has dropped a whopping 30 points with Asian Americans since April of 2021. 55% of Asian American adults either strongly or somewhat disapprove of Biden's job performance, while 44% somewhat or strongly approve. I think part of this has to do with so many Asian people, particularly Asian expats who've come from other areas of the world, who come here to live the American dream and succeeded quite nicely, opening businesses a lot of the times in neighborhoods that are really, really crappy and crime-ridden. And making a go of it. And they see what the Democrat Party is all about. Down with Black Lives Matter. Down with cities burning and all that. And they're going, I don't think so. I don't think so. All right, Jason Miller from Getter coming up. Monkeypox on the way. And a tribute to Vin Scully, one of the boys of summer we'll never forget. It's the Rob Carson Show. Carson Show. Joining me on the Newsmax hotline, Jason Miller, former Trump 2020 senior advisor, the CEO of Getter, social media site that I love, actually. Freedom of expression is a glorious thing, and Getter doesn't exclude people for politics. It's kind of crazy that way. Jason, good morning or good afternoon. How are you doing, my friend?
Rob, it's so great to be back with you, and congratulations on all the stations that you're adding and all the new listeners, and it's great to see the media empire grow and your voice being carried all across the country.
Thank you, my friend. It's overwhelming. It's amazing. And I just think people need a break from just desk pounding. They like to be entertained. If you can make them laugh a little bit while we're going through this pain, it doesn't hurt either. Let's talk about Donald Trump in the primary season thus far. Last night, some very big Trump endorsed candidates. He continued what he's been doing. I don't know what his official winning numbers are at, but it's a well above 95% as far as endorsed candidates winning. Last night, what did you see after last night and the primaries that have happened the last month or so with regard to Trump's momentum going into this midterm election?
Yeah, so I think what last night showed, particularly with Arizona, is that Trump's endorsement still matters. And it matters in that it's going to go and give candidates the boost. You look at the Kerry Lake versus the Robeson primary in the Arizona governor's race, where when I went to bed, Robeson was ahead by a couple few points. And I wake up this morning, Kerry Lake is ahead by 2 points, I believe. So that's a big deal. Yeah. You have Blake Masters, who won that very competitive primary against Jim Lehman, who's spending a ton of money in Arizona. And also you had Eli Crane in congressional race, Mark Fincham running for Secretary of State. So the Trump endorsement, particular in Arizona, matters, and it matters in a big way. You also saw John Gibbs beat one of the rhinos that voted for impeachment, Meyer in Michigan. That was a great race. And one of the things, too, with all the here's the thing that cracks me up is all the establishment hand-wringing going on, saying, uh-oh, Gibbs is going to put this race into play. Timeout, establishment. You can't go and say that we're competing in D+9 Democrat districts in, say, Texas because the year is going to be so good for us. But then John Gibbs, who African-American Republican, would then somehow magically put this race in Western Michigan into play. So I don't buy that at all. The one place, Rob, where I'm a little bit frustrated, not say at the president or anyone on the team, but in Washington State, had an opportunity to take out Herrera Butler as well as Newhouse in Washington State. But we split the vote. And so you have the anti-establishment, the anti-impeachment vote that got diluted with multiple MAGA candidates. that is a missed opportunity. We should have gone in there and gotten behind one candidate, would have beaten them easily, but, you know, you live and learn.
What about Missouri? Eric Greitens got completely stomped. A little more of a surprise, Eric Schmidt ended up winning. Donald Trump said the day before yesterday that he endorsed Eric without necessarily saying either. I assume this meant that he thought Schmidt was kind of a rhino. Certainly, I'm trying to remember the third person in the race. I'm drawing a blank on her name right now, but certainly a rhino-esque. And then Eric Greitens, just a mess, just a mess. I still would consider this to be a victory for Donald Trump in the state of Missouri. What do you think?
I think so. I mean, so the candidates in the race, you had Eric Schmidt, who's the attorney general, who won huge. He blew it out by like 20 points.
Of course.
Yeah, the Congresswoman Vicky Hartzler.
I forgot her name. I apologize.
Yeah. And then Eric Greitens, who, of course, had been the former governor. He blew up in a somewhat spectacular way.
Yeah.
He fell back to third place in 15%. Here's the thing with President Trump and endorsements and activity. The candidates themselves still matter. And the president can go and give them a boost. But say in the case of Eric Greitens, and look, this is something I said to Greitens directly. I was like, you need to go and tackle some of these things from the past head on and go and give people, say, hey, here's what happened. Here's why I should earn your confidence and your vote. But they came in and the opponents dumped a ton of bricks on his head. Quite frankly, they didn't need to dump a ton of bricks. They probably could have dropped one brick. But it's ultimately candidates and their campaigns do matter.
Yeah. I live in the Kansas side of Kansas City. I was very disappointed in the vote to put some restrictions on abortion. Right now, pretty much unfettered access to abortion in the state of Kansas. I will tell you, as somebody who was here, there was a lot of outside money spent because of Roe v. Wade going bye-bye. They wanted to have some sort of a victory in the state of Kansas, a state that like with so many sparsely populated states, are dominated by leftist politics in places like Johnson County, Kansas, Topeka to some degree, in Manhattan, and also in Lawrence, Kansas. So they got a victory. They're claiming a big victory. I like to say that what they did is they lied. They said that this was about the people who wanted the restrictions on abortion, wanted to get rid of abortion altogether. That was not the case. They didn't want your tax money spent on it, and they wanted to make it safe and rare and early. What do you think as far as a victory for those who support Roe v. Wade and unfettered access to abortion in Kansas? Did that really happen last night?
Well, obviously the victory happened, and here's one of the things that I think you need to kind of go and separate the signal from the noise here.
Yes.
If you have the issue of abortion on the ballot, it is going to very strongly turn out the pro-abortion crowd.
Yes,
that's one of the things that we saw last night. Even in a state like Kansas, which, of course, they had the book, What's the Matter with Kansas? And Kansas seems to go both ways, from the left to the right. It's a very finicky state politically.
Yes.
But if you put abortion on the ballot, that is going to turn people out. Where I do not think you can extrapolate out and say that these same folks are going to be as passionate in turning out for the fall elections or that they're going to somehow juice the vote and turn out some bigger amount, because again, abortion is not on the ballot in the fall. This was a Supreme Court decision.
Yeah.
And when you put it on the ballot, you're going to go and turn certain groups out. But that's I would not go and say that this is some harbinger for what's going to happen in the fall.
If Democrats thought that tornadoes were anti-Trump, they'd vote for tornadoes in Kansas. They really would. They like bring us the F5s. We don't even care. Let's talk about Getter. I just saw this headline. Getter celebrates 200 million live stream views. Jason, I've been a member of Getter since essentially you signed on. The reaction that I get is wonderful. Wonderful. Even those on the left on Getter. Tell me about how the social media platform is doing now. How many months in are you?
Great. So we're just over a year. So we're we're almost at the end of 13 months. This is, I guess, day number three into month 13. So just over a year. It's great. So we're at 6 million users. We're at 200 million live stream views now since we launched that feature in October. Wow. What this means, people who hop on and watch, whether it's Rob Carson or Steve Bannon or President Trump rallies, different events that we have going on, Getter has become a content destination. When people are like, I want to get breaking news, I want to hear from my favorite pundits or comedians or sports figures, people like that, they're starting to go to Getter. Viewing it now as a destination point. That's something that we're continue building out. and not just in the U.S., but around the world. And I really think that we're showing that you can have a free speech platform, but a great place for content. And that's really what we're making the platform.
Well, you know what I enjoy is that, you know, I have a Facebook page. I really don't do much with it because they always shadow ban me. They always limit my, and I never look at their timeline unless I'm looking at maybe somebody posting pictures of friends or a graduation or whatever. I only keep Twitter because I use video clips for my show and I can download them easy. That's it. But I do have a Truth Social. Doesn't perform as well as my Getter. But so I'm impressed with Getter. Let me just put this in perspective. As someone who is a broadcaster, and I've been doing this since 1989, first time on the air, 1984. And we have it's remarkable to me, Jason, that you can have 200 million live stream views on a social media platform where somebody like me, I've got literally a spare bedroom made into a studio, and I can reach hundreds of thousands or millions of people, unfettered access. I still just, it's hard for me to get over that, and I just think it's amazing. Do you ever just look at the tech and look at where we're going as the CEO of this company and go, wow, wow? And what do you see as the near and far future of the media?
So another great question. And the exciting thing is anyone with a smartphone, anyone with an internet connection can get their voice out. So no longer are people's political voices so centralized, or even their entertainment voices, where you have to go through certain channels. You have to go and kiss the rear ends of the mainstream media. You have to go talk to the media elite. You can go and broadcast to people. And if you have good content, say, for example, in your show, Rob, people will go and they will find you. You'll get the message out. You'll be able to communicate with them. That's the great thing. No longer do we have to live in servitude to these media elites. I think we're going to continue to see a decentralization of media. Now, what direction will that take? How much will streaming take over versus what people are doing, different music platforms or entertainment? I think that's still getting sorted out. I do think that when we talk about the old platforms like Facebook and Twitter, those are really the dinosaurs, and I think people are moving away from them. I think the future is really you're going to see Getter on the freedom side. You're going to see TikTok on the CCP-controlled side. Yeah. Folks, be careful of TikTok. I see the direction of where things are going.
Well, I'm going to also tell you that if you've got a daughter, you want to be worried about TikTok. You want to be worried about Instagram to some degree. There was an instance the other day. This mom was putting what she thought was cute little pictures of her daughter on the TikTok, and cute little videos of her little four-year-old daughter. And there's her little four-year-old in a swimsuit. And then all of a sudden she realizes that 50,000 people, men in America, are saving those pictures. And you kind of realize, okay, there's something wrong here. And here's this mom who's literally making money, getting endorsements for taking her little daughter, but actually, having pedophiles check out all of her posts on Instagram or on TikTok. You never know what's out there. You have to be careful. The thing that I like about Getter is that it is a timeline. If I follow the timeline, I see what the thought leaders are posting. I can evaluate what I think about them. And then I see what people on the left are saying. And I go, at least it's there. I can see it. If I'm on Twitter, for instance, I'll look at the timeline. I'll see a lot of left stuff. If I see things that are trending, if you want to go be assaulted, if you're a conservative, go to the trending on Twitter, because you're going to get beaten to snot. Because even if it looks like it's positive about conservatives, you're going to open it up and it's all going to be F you, F this, F that, negativity, awful. I don't get that with Getter, Jason. And how is your audience enjoying it? And why are they migrating toward it, by the way?
Well, number one thing, you hit the nail on the head. It's because it's fun. It's a place where it's a positive environment. You can go and express your opinions. You're not going to all of a sudden get attacked by 20,000 anonymous people saying that you're the devil. And if you don't go along with a wokest ideology, you can actually go and express your opinion. You can have fun exchanges and dialogues with people. You can get breaking news. That's really kind of the spirit of it. So when I wake up in the morning and I open up the app, I actually look forward to seeing, all right, cool, let me see who's on Getter today.
Yeah.
Whereas on Twitter, which I'll check it like every other day or so, I'll go and look at Twitter, and it literally, I haven't been able to look at comments on Twitter in years. Yeah. If you could literally say that, hey, it's sunny out today, you will be attacked and people are, you're fascist, you're terrible, and it'll all be like, Mike 2510 with a little egg emoji, not even a real picture, and you're like, okay, this is clearly a bot, just some George Soros flunky who's out there trying to attack and spread hate. And that's what we want to get away from. We're making social media fun again.
Yeah, and it is interesting how we can come together. For instance, John Stewart the other day, I saw that he was confronted by Jack Posobiec on the Capitol Mall trying to pass this legislation to get money to soldiers who were affected by burn pits. And immediately, John Stewart goes after him, calls him a troll, an effing troll, all this, and then they have a conversation. And Posobiec gets the opportunity to express what's wrong with this bill that was going through Congress and the $400 billion that the Democrats were attaching to it, and understand that that Republicans are really for more so helping our veterans. And they came to an accord. John Stewart actually apologized, Jason. I know that's hard to believe, but if you listen to both sides of the argument, if you just listen to them instead of just shooting down the other side and calling the other side a mother effer, then you can actually maybe find a little common ground. Go ahead.
It was remarkable. I saw the clip, and Jack's there just very calm, and John Stewart's kind of looking a little bit flummoxed, and he goes, you know, I got to apologize. I lost my cool a little bit back there. But, yeah, we're on the same page. And Jack was like, hey, we're 98% of the way there. We have it clear what the thing is. It has nothing to do with veterans. But let's just have a normal conversation on this. And John Stewart, it was almost as if, you know, kind of when you're a five-year-old, when you run around, then they get tired at the end, and then they don't have enough energy left to misbehave. They're just kind of like, okay, like they're just broken down. And John Stewart was like, yeah, Jack, you're right. And it was this remarkable video. And Jack standing there, and he's all wearing the suit and tie, looking very professional. And it was one of the more remarkable things I've seen on social media in quite some time.
Yeah, it was remarkable. I'm going to share that with the audience here in just a second. Jason, thanks for joining me today, man. I wish you continued success with Getter. They can find you, of course, Jason Miller in D.C. on both Twitter and Getter. One more thing, one more quick plug from Getter, where people can go to sign up, whatnot. If they have any questions, go ahead.
Absolutely. Go to the Apple Store. Go to the Google Play Store. Getter, G-E-T-T-R. Hop on. Follow Rob. Follow me. You're going to have a much more positive experience. Yeah. We look forward to seeing you.
All right. Have a glorious day. Safe travels. And we'll talk again soon. Let's take a break. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show.
To all the Brandons out there, we salute you and say, let's go, Brandon. It's The Rob Carson Show.
I've been talking about the death of civility for years and years and years. And for years and years and years, most of my friends have been liberal, just by happenstance. I'm not sure exactly why it's happened. Minneapolis, most of my friends were liberal. Cincinnati, most of my friends were liberal. Washington, D.C., most of my friends were liberal. We broke bread for years, and we didn't talk politics. There were some instances where I was literally driven from the room, not literally, but driven from the room, attempting to express myself as a conservative. And it was very frustrating because there's no listening to some. I listened a whole lot to what they had to say when I became a full-time talk radio host and Trump supporter. All of my friends in Maryland stopped pretty much having anything to do with me. It's sad. It really is. It's sad and it's pathetic, to be quite honest. I'm able to sit down and talk to people who are pro-abortion, even though I am very pro-life. And you know what? If we can disagree, if we disagree, then we disagree. I'm going to fight for everything that I'm worth, for what I think is right. And if you think you're right, then bring it, and we will compete in the arena of ideas. But John Stewart was, you know, very angry. And John Stewart is a very passionate man. He's done some wonderful things for those who suffered the lingering effects of cleaning up the September 11th Ground Zero site. And then, of course, burn pits, U.S. military veterans who were suffering from a host of diseases from having to sleep and work burn pits in arenas of war. And finally, they tried to pass this PACT Act through Congress. And the PACT Act, what the Democrats did is they loaded it up with a bunch of spending. Wasn't related to it. They sneaked unrelated spending into the PACT Act. And then they brought John Stewart in, and John Stewart immediately said, well, Republicans, they're evil, and they want veterans to die. And no, actually, Republicans like Republican Senator Toomey. Pat Toomey said, no, we're just trying to pass the act just to help the veterans and get rid of the slush fund, which is what Democrats always do. Now, here is Jack Posobiec approaching John Stewart on the mall in Washington, D.C., and John Stewart being immediately hostile. Jack Posobiec is a young conservative.
Over the line.
No.
Because these people have suffered for 15 years. Because you're a
Get them in the
troll.
Face. Look at them in
you're
the face.
Guys,
listen to the left.
Oh, I want the bill you're not in good face.
I'm for the bill.
You're not in good face.
So what's the problem? What are you trying to do here?
Now, Jack Posobiec continued to talk to John and explained what I just did to you about the PAC Act and how Democrats want to do, pardon the expression, pour it out.
This is Jack Posobiec. I'm here with Tim Jensen of Grundstyle and
John Stewart.
Hello.
John Stewart is also here. John Stewart and I have decided to come to agreement. Have we not, John?
Yes, sir. I lost my temper a little bit. I felt like I was being trolled. And I realized that the important thing is you just got to get this done for these guys and get them over the finish line.
And they did. Holy cow. Let's take a break, guys. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show.
Rush Limbaugh shared his comedy for years. Now you'll hear it here. It's The Rob Carson Show.
It is The Rob Carson Show. It's already Thursday. Hello and welcome to it. You'll have to pardon me for my being out of breath slightly. Had some technical difficulties. I mean, literally, just seconds before the show. But fortunately, we got some sort of divine intervention or at least a company named Comrex. Anyway, welcome to the show. Hi, how are you? What's going on? Thursday, and we are marching into the month, and we're getting some bad news as far as the economy is concerned. We've got a lot of things happening in the world. Weekly jobless claims rising to 260,000 among non-payrolls report. So I don't know if you knew this, but the Biden administration has been saying for a while, at least a couple of days, that there is no recession whatsoever. All right. So that would, I guess, mean that if they come up with a new law that is a massive spending bill that's literally been in Congress and everybody has said no to it for the last year and they call it the Inflation Reduction Act. Well, chances are you're getting lied to. You're getting lied to bigger than you ever believed. And if you think that Joe Manchin is anything but a W-H-O-R-E, you would be absolutely wrong. I didn't say that because I'm trying to be polite today to control my rage at what is going on at Capitol Hill, what is going on in Washington, D.C., and how they're treating the rest of us during this time of incredible crisis that they are completely tone-deaf to altogether. I saw this montage yesterday. I'm going to just go ahead and play it because this is Harriet Hegeman. She is running against Liz Cheney in Wyoming. And thus far, Donald Trump's endorsement of candidates around the country has been successful 170 times compared to 10 times being unsuccessful. And that would be in places like Washington State, Liberal Bastion, and Georgia, where election integrity is still a major, major problem. But Donald Trump's endorsement is rocking across the country. And there's a lot of money being spent in states like Pennsylvania and Maryland saying that, Trump-endorsed candidates cannot be elected. Trump-endorsed candidates are not going to be the ones you want to vote for. The other Republican under the ranks, we saw this in Maryland, and Dan Cox ended up absolutely kicking butt despite his rhino rival having millions of dollars in outside money spent on that campaign. Americans are saying they want what Donald Trump gave us, and they are very dubious about what's happening in Washington, D.C. And I might also add, let me just throw this out there. They aren't giving up what happened in 2020. They aren't giving it up, despite the media's desperate measures to cover up election fraud, despite the major media saying that everything was perfectly fine the day after the election, despite all of the evidence of election fraud, including the fact that, well, you could just attribute it to this, nobody came to see Joe Biden speak. Nobody likes Joe Biden. Joe Biden is a 50-year career bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. Joe Biden did not campaign. Joe Biden hid in his basement. Why do I think the 2020 election was stolen? It's because I'm not stupid. And right now, the Democrat Party knows that they are ruling outside the will of the American people. They are trying to pass this. This new spending and tax bill has as much to do with reducing inflation as, wearing wearing a raincoat to the desert. It makes no freaking sense whatsoever. And we all know we're being played. It just took a while for Washington, D.C. to distract, the mainstream media to distract, and you and I, they hoped, would forget that Joe Manchin originally said no to the Green New Deal, and now we know the reason why he did that is because he wanted to cover up his support of it. And he wanted to sneak it in some other way, shape, or form a good 8 months after he said he wasn't going to do it. So if you think that Joe Manchin is somehow a champion for the working class or the champion for the people of West Virginia, those in coal country, those working in the fossil fuel industries, you're wrong. And it's about time we started running these SOBs out of town on a rail. I'm tired of being played. I'm tired of watching people suffer for this nonsense. I'm tired that you and I have to cut everything. I'm tired that 60% of us are living paycheck to paycheck. And here, let me shove something else with you. People are shopping at Dollar General. They can't afford Walmart now. They can't afford to go to Walmart, so they're shopping at Dollar General in New York City. They're putting cans of Spam in glass cases so they won't get stolen. Nearly half of the food banks in the United States are experiencing an increased demand as Americans struggle under the crushing weight of 40-year high inflation. And what does our federal government do in this height of desperation among our people? They decide they want to spend more of the people's money. They decide they want to continue where they left off. And I told you what they were going to do. I told you what Democrats were going to do. I told you what the class of 1968 was going to do. They were going to throw everything at the wall to see if it sticks. And if it doesn't, force it through anyway. This bill needs to be killed. I'll just say it. This bill needs to be killed. You need to get on the phone with your representative today, Democrat, Republican, or otherwise. If you are part of the growing group of people who say that 85% of us say the country is going the wrong direction, you need to call Capitol Hill right now and say, put the end to this nonsense. Put the end to this creepy and corrupt way of passing this spending that nobody wants. It has to be stopped. This is a little montage that's been going around. Again, this is from the woman, Harriet Hageman, who's running against Liz Cheney. And it encapsulates how the American people feel right now about Washington, D.C. and being ruled instead of represented.
We're fed up with the Green New Deal and the socialists who created it. We're fed up with the attacks on our fossil fuel and energy industries. We're fed up with an open border. We're fed up with human trafficking. We're fed up with fentanyl flooding our country. And we're fed up with illegal immigration. We're fed up with critical race theory. We're fed up with boys competing in girls' sports. We're fed up with...
I'm not hearing abortion in here anyway. No, I'm not hearing abortion at all. Democrats think abortion is going to get people to the polls to vote Democrat.
We're fed up with the liberal media, Twitter, Facebook, Google, and YouTube for blocking conservative speech. We're fed up with our government and universities censoring conservative thought, canceling debate, and rewriting history. We're fed up with the corruption in the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, the CIA, the NSA, and the FISA Court.
Now,
we're fed up.
You know there is a problem in the country. You know that the Washington, D.C. is starting to panic when the FBI investigates posts on the web featuring the Declaration of Independence. You know that they're nervous when they go after organizations that post the Declaration of Independence. for those who don't know. Let me just read real quick the relevant parts. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, when in the course of human events becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Meaning, if government has been abusive, it no longer represents the people, it's time for the people, peacefully, I'll just say peacefully, to end this form of government. I'll just say it has to start with the Federal Bureau of Investigations. I used to defend field agents for the FBI. Now I believe that the entire agency needs to be taken down, reinvented. Yesterday we heard, because Project Veritas discovered, that the FBI said that one of the things you should watch for with regard to domestic terror is A2. That is someone who agrees with the Second Amendment, with a well-regulated militia. They also called the Gadsden flag a sign of terrorism. No, it's not. This is your FBI. Here's a little bit more from the Declaration of Independence, that if you post on a social media page, if you are part of a conservative organization, you could get a call from the FBI. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. And that's what has the swamp panicked. Because people are mad as hell, and they're not going to take it anymore. So what does the federal government do? Rather than focusing on opening up supply chains, so you can, you know, maybe buy a new car, which you haven't been able to do in a long time, maybe be able to get some baby formula on the shelves, which they've not been able to fix, and they've been at it for nearly a year. Rather, what they're doing is passing a giant piece of legislation, which they always do. They're saying that down the road, it's going to cause the deficit to be reduced, and it's going to cause inflation to go away. When was the last time that any bill passed by the federal government actually worked as planned? Go ahead. They're still tweaking Obamacare. Obamacare was going to fix health care, guys. They're going to add another $100 million to it. $100 billion. I'm sorry. It was $100 billion. Right now, you have the king sitting on a pile of crap. His name is Joe Biden. He is mentally infirmed. There's no doubting it anymore. He's not able to function as a human being. And he's being propped up by those who started the pathway to hell back in 2007, 2006, when Barack Obama was the Illinois House, or the Illinois Senate, and then the United States Senate. And then he said he was going to fundamentally transform the United States of America. So not only is the federal government sicking the FBI on parents who go after school boards who promote CRT, and now we know they're going to go after people who post Second Amendment posts on their social media or have a Gadsden flag as a profile shot, those kind of things. Part of this spending bill is they're going to hire 81,000 Gestapo to work for the IRS to go after you and your money. Because they weren't able to get a radical Chinese communist to become the comptroller of the United States currency and get rid of the banking system. So now they're going to take what little you have less, and they're going to look at your taxes with a fine-tooth comb. You could be making $50,000 a year, and they'll find some way, shape, or form to figure out that you supposedly owe more, and they're going to come after you. I told you about this last year. I was almost kind of convinced that maybe this wouldn't go anywhere because Joe Manchin was holding the line. Then I find out that Joe Manchin was just told to shut up for about 8 months and we'll give you something else. The number here is 800-922-6680, 800-922-6680. This is a last stand moment. This piece of legislation, in the time that you're suffering so badly with an economy they don't have an answer for, but their answer is to double down on the thing that has gotten us here, and then to hire agents to go after you. Unbelievable. Let's take a break. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show.
Sleepy Joe. Joe Biden's been asleep for years.
This has to be a wake-up call and shine a bright spotlight on anything like this behavior anywhere.
It's The Rob Carson Show.
So we've got a new spending bill. It's they've labeled it literally and like we live in North Korea. They're calling it the Inflation Protection Act. They are literally naming this this bill. They are calling it something that it isn't. So the Inflation Reduction Act. They're calling it something that it is not even related to in any way, shape, or form. There is nothing related to decreasing inflation to this bill, and Joe Manchin knows it. They should call it the kill a fossil fuel and blow up the deficit bill. That's what they should call it. But they're lying to you. They're lying to you like so many things they've lied to you about in the past. Joe Biden tried to tell you that the Afghan pullout was a great thing. They tried to tell you that Hunter Biden's laptop was not real before the election. They tried to convince you that Donald Trump was colluding with Russia. They're still trying to tell you that the 2020 election was not stolen, even though there is more evidence than presumably the other things that I have mentioned, with the exception of Joe Biden's laptop. They're telling you all of this stuff. And then Joe Biden is also saying that this new bill will actually they will not raise your taxes. It's going to raise your taxes. Remember what he said? He said you're not going to raise your taxes. What happens, though, if everything you try to buy goes up in price and it's caused by the government's policies? That's a de facto tax increase, right? Wouldn't you say that? If it's government policies that cause an otherwise oil-rich nation to have to beg OPEC for oil and our enemies for oil, and gas prices double and you suffer, and then every other product you buy, the price goes through the ceiling. We have a government that Joe Biden literally last year went to the West Coast, said they were going to fix the supply chain crisis. The first thing that they did is they moved the ships further out shore so they wouldn't be counted. And now we know they're experiencing the same thing. And now we know that it's incredibly hard to buy a car. Is that normal to you? Is it normal to you to drive by a car dealership and not seeing any new cars? Is it normal for you to pay 40% more for a used car than you did last year? You know where it's normal to not have new cars? Cuba. You know what's normal to have empty store shelves and no baby formula? Venezuela. Here's your president lying. Lying about this bill. Lying about him saying, him telling you that taxes will not go up. I want you to listen to the first line of this. Because his entire career has been based on lies. He's been driven from presidential campaigns for lying, for plagiarizing. His entire career is a lie. And that is not what I was looking for. Here is Joe Biden.
Guarantee, a promise. I've never broken my word. Anyone?
He says, I've never broken my word. Boy, you are in a special place when you can say that you've never broken your word. I think there's only been like maybe one person in the planet who's rumored to have never broken his word.
Making less than,
and it ain't this guy.
$400,000 will not see one single penny in their tax raise.
President Biden breaking his promise not to raise taxes on the middle class.
The Senate Democrats look to fast track a bill that multiple now nonpartisan experts say would raise taxes on nearly all Americans.
Give you my word as a Biden, no one making less than $400,000.
His word as a Biden is worth D word.
$1,000 a year will see a penny in their taxes raised.
The average tax rate for nearly every income bracket would increase.
I will not impose any tax increase on people making.
While you are suffering, government lives high on the hog, and they're getting ready to take a whole lot more for you. from you by hook or by crook. They're going to do it by higher taxes. They're going to do it by higher prices. And if all else fails, they got 81,000 new IRS agents to go after you.
Less than $400,000.
Taxes will rise by $16.7 billion in 2023 on Americans earning less than $200,000 a year.
No one earning less than $400,000 a year will pay a single penny more in federal taxes.
Joe Biden has drawn the line at $400,000 a year. The committee does say it would raise taxes on people below that line.
Yeah, you're being played. You're being played again. I remember when Barack Obama was the president and they shut down the government and the government freaked out and we were in the beginnings of a recession and you were told to live with less. And Barack Obama said, you can't drive that SUV. You can't eat what you want. Washington, D.C. never had to cut a damn dime. And they're still living like it's partying like it's 1999. I've got more audio, including from the treacherous Joe Manchin, who is screwing over his constituents. But he's getting a big payday. Oh, yes, he is. That's on the way. Your calls are welcome. This is the Rob Carson Show. Judy is a fan of the show. She wrote me an email just a second ago. Sounds like that good old-fashioned camp meeting at my house today. Lots of amens going on. You are on fire, all caps, today, and you are just getting started. Keep it up, Pastor Rob. Well, you know what? I am certainly not a pastor, but I am here to preach about the evils of the federal government and what they're doing to you and me in a time of great suffering. They don't care. I said it years ago. We are living a tale of two cities. We have a bourgeois. We have a proletariat. We are the proletariat. We are fighting for the crumbs. And the rich keep getting richer and the oligarchy grows. And you've got people making billions and billions and billions of dollars. Big social media, big pharma. The government, big social media, the Democrat Party telling you, if you disagree with the party line, the party in power, if you have an alternative opinion to what's going on, that is disinformation. That is a phrase coined by Joseph Stalin in 1923. Look it up. A majority of likely voters believe Democrats are responsible for plunging the United States into a gasp, shriek, recession. This, according to Rasmussen. Democrats inherited an economy that was primed for a historic comeback and promptly ran it straight into the ground. That is a line from Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who needs to find another job after November. 1,000 likely voters were asked to comment on that. That line. Democrats inherited an economy that was primed for a historic comeback and promptly ran it straight into the ground. 59% of Americans agree with that statement. 35% disagree. 38% of Democrats agree with that quote from McConnell, including 23% who strongly agree. Let me say it again. Democrats inherited an economy that was primed for a historic comeback and promptly ran it straight into the ground. 47% of Democrats say they believe also that we are in a recession. Recession, the R word, recession. Republicans say that 83% of Republicans say the same thing. We are in a recession. Weekly jobless claims rise to 260,000 ahead of a non-farm payrolls report. So now the job market's taking it in the shorts. And businesses are starting to cut payrolls. Robin Hood, ladies and gentlemen, of all things, Robin Hood. Announcing massive playoffs. Layoffs, I should say. A California-based financial service company is the latest organization to announce staff cuts. On Tuesday, Robinhood announced that it would be slashing an additional 23% of its workforce. In April, the company laid 9% of its staff off, blaming rising inflation and a drop in user activity. Customers of Robinhood use the platform to buy and sell stocks. So unless you're a Paul Pelosi, you're worthless. but Americans have reduced their trading activity because of, are you ready for this? Recession fears. And oddly enough, as I said earlier, you know, you got big social media, the mainstream media, the Democrat Party, all telling you that what you believe is disinformation or misinformation. They've got other minions. They've got other people working with them. Wikipedia introducing restrictions to prevent new and unregistered users from editing the article about economic recession. Yeah, people are trying to change the meaning of the word recession on Wikipedia. But we know the truth, don't we? Yeah, we know the truth. You know why we know the truth? Because we're not stupid.
A recession, that is what we're in. No one can deny. The White House is a tempting spin, but the numbers do not lie.
No, but Democrats do.
The GDP was negative for two quarters in a row. That's a recession, and it's always been time to face the music, Joe.
Impeach, remove.
You see, it's still a recession by any other name. Biden's denial is lame. A recession, that is what we've got. Joe and Janet Yellen are lying a lot. A recession by any other name. La, la, la. La, la.
Just whistling by the cemetery.
Biden, he is to blame.
We've got Brian in Baltimore on the phone. Hello there, Brian, and welcome to the Rob Carson Show. What's going on? Hello, Brian, are you there? All right, Brian is gone. By the way, Jim Gossett did that song. Jim Gossett, 2 S and 2 T's, Jim Gossett Comedy. He's got a big show coming up in Atlanta later this month. I'll give you details on that later in the show if you'd like to go see. A gentleman who I work with, I've written many song parodies with him, and he writes his own stuff too, and he's amazing. Absolutely amazing. The Senate Democrats' climate tax and spending bill will cut deficits years from now after raising them for about 5 years. See, I've used this analogy before, but you ever had a kid who said that they really wanted a puppy or they really wanted a pony or they really wanted something, and then we got it, they didn't do it, they didn't take care of it? This is what Democrats always do. This is what Congress always does. Oh, you know what? We're going to give you a new spending bill, and if you just pass this, we're going to take care of it, and we're going to love it, and it's going to make the climate better, and it's going to bring down the deficit, and look at the taxes aren't going to go up and all that, and it's all a bunch of crap. And the fact that they're saying that, oh, yeah, it's going to raise the deficit for the next 5 years, but then it'll go down. Well, by then, you'll have forgotten about it. By then, we'll have another man in the White House or another woman in the White House or another whatever the hell in the White House. The budget would grow, the deficit would grow by $24.6 billion between this year and 2027. Oh, yes, and the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, says that putting tax enforcement into overdrive would bring in an additional $204 billion in revenue. This means that the 87 or 81 billion IRS agents that I told you about, they want to bring in, they want to Gestapo-wise the IRS. Now, the IRS has already been weaponized. It was weaponized during Obama's administration. Remember Lois Lerner? Remember going after conservative 501c3s? Before the second election of Barack Obama. Do you remember that? They want to hire 87 million new IRS agents. They want to hire jackbooted thugs to go after you, to go after your business, to use the tax code event against you. Right now, here's what they ought to do. Fire everybody at the IRS. Save 10% of their employees. And simplify the tax code to where it's a business card that you just choose your deduction, choose your whatever, and you're taxed at a flat rate. That's what they've been wanting to do forever, but it's never done. They always, you know, the Republicans will say they're going to do it. They have no intention of doing it at all. So now what they want to do is take this gigantic, bloated dragon that is the IRS, and they want to double its workforce to use the minutiae and the complexity of the tax code to go after you. And because you can't afford a lawyer and you can't afford, you know, like Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity is audited every year. Rush Limbaugh, when he lived in New York, was audited every year. Do you know why? Because he's a conservative. They want to do that to you. Except for they'll find something, some sort of minutia that you might have missed. And they'll say, oh, it's a crime that you haven't paid that. Maybe you missed a whatever 3 years ago, 5 years ago, or whatever. And they will use whatever finagling they have to do to say you owe that money. And to avoid the fines and to avoid this, pay this. That's what they're going to do. And Joe Manchin is down with it. He was down with it a year ago, but it wasn't politically expedient. And it would have been too damaging to him politically last year. Well, guess what? He's done. Here is Ted Cruz talking about this obscene bill they're thinking about jamming down our throats.
This bill funds 87,000 new IRS agents. Mm. Imagine IRS agents descending upon America like a swarm of locusts. And by the way, these IRS agents aren't there to go after billionaires.
This on top of the FBI going after people and saying that A2 people, people who support the Second Amendment, who support the Second Amendment, are terrorists. Those who, like the Betsy Ross, which is the traditional 13 stars around in the left corner of the flag, that is a sign of domestic terrorism, as is the Gadsden flag. They said nothing about Antifa. They said nothing about Black Lives Matter.
They're there to go after you. They're there to go after your small business. They're there to go after your family. The Democrats' idea is if they audit the hell out of every American, think of all the money they can raise. Now, I got to say, as I've traveled Texas, as I've traveled the country, I've heard the people yearning for a lot of things in America. I've never once heard someone say, what we need is more IRS agents. Mm. I mean, this is big government run amok. And if you don't want to be audited next year and the year after and the year after, and by the way, if you're a Republican donor, this corrupt administration will audit you next year and the year after and the year after, we ought to kill this terrible, terrible bill.
You better. I'm going to tell you right now, you better. Because people are done with this nonsense. Done with this nonsense. Collection of pro-coal groups lambasted legislation that Democrat Joe Manchin is now behind, the Inflation Reduction Act. This letter was signed by the Kentucky Coal Association, Ohio Coal Association, West Virginia Coal Association. Quote, this legislation is so egregious it leaves those of us that call Senator Manchin a friend shocked and disheartened. Joe Manchin and your friend. The current, listen, Schumer-Manchin draft agreement on climate and energy frankly leaves us questioning the motivation and sincerity of Manchin's previous stance and his repeated chant, we must, quote, innovate, not eliminate. This means drive coal out of business for some green energy dream that has always been a lie. If you don't believe me, look at the $780 billion spent in the Biden administration or the Obama administration on infrastructure, green infrastructure, that never happened. It never happened. But companies like Solyndra got billions of dollars from the federal government and summarily went out of business. The current Schumer-Manchin draft agreement will quickly diminish our coal production operations and all but obviate any need to innovate coal assets. They're doing the same thing with oil. They're driving up lease prices for land. They're driving up the price of everything because that's what they want to do. They want to make us the third world, and they're going to do it. And if you don't believe me, please find a tractor trailer or a farm field tractor or a container ship or a tank or most all fishing vessels that are electric. Got any? Any heavy-duty F-350 electric trucks out there? See, they're giving you no choice. And it's going to become so expensive for you to live that probably the only thing that'll be able to save you is a bailout from the government. I got to tell you guys. I've got more on this, and I want to get some audio from Joe Manchin, who's a weasel, who is a weasel. He's painted a good picture. We got to believe him. We thought, oh, hey, man, he's standing in the way of the filibuster. He's on our side. And then we find out that he can be paid. He can be bought and paid for. 800-922-6680. Let's take a break. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show.
It's time to make common sense common again. It's The Rob Carson Show.
Now, last year, when Joe Manchin would not go along with the Build Back Better bill, because, you know, he's really down with his constituents in West Virginia, well, his wife was going to get, the agency she represented was going to get $1 billion that she could just pony up to anybody. See, this is what part of being the CEOs and the board of directors of a $5+ trillion company gets you. So weasels like Joe Manchin can get control of a whole lot of money and send it to his buddies, and everybody does it. And I would say, a gigantic share of them in Washington, D.C. do just this. I think that there are a few who do not, and mostly because they probably only have been there a short while, like MTG and Lauren Boebert. Democrat Party leaders made promises related to an oil pipeline. It's a natural gas pipeline. And other energy priorities in order to lock down West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin's vote for the $739 billion spending package with historic funding levels for climate-related programs, which is a giant debacle. It's never worked. They spent more than this. $786 billion during the Obama administration for supposedly shovel-ready jobs. Do you remember that? See, if you've been on the planet long enough and you got a good long-term memory, you remember things like this. And not one damn thing was done with that $786 billion. Do you see any signs on the roads that said this road was built, this was built, this was built, this was built? No, not a damned thing. Giant slush fund. And they're trying to spend this with reconciliation, procedural tact that would enable the party to get around the filibuster, force the measure through on a party line vote. According to a document outlining the framework of the agreement, Congress would, quote, require the relevant agencies to take all necessary options to permit the construction and operation of the Mountain Valley Pipeline, a project Manchin has long sought to deliver. A 304-mile pipeline spanning from southern Virginia to northwestern West Virginia has faced setbacks over oppositions from environmental groups. Manchin said on Tuesday the pipeline would help lower gasoline prices and create 2,500 new jobs. And if you believe that, I want to get some of the weed you're smoking because it's got to be phenomenal. Phenomenal! It's not the case. United Mine Workers of America International President Cecil Roberts has called for Congress to approve the legislation. Yeah, you know why? Because he's getting paid too. We're pleased to see provisions that were included in the IRA that will extend tax credits to renewable energy supply chain manufacturers that build plants in coal fields. So this is from the United Mine Workers of America International. He's saying he's actually proud that they're going to build these renewable energy plants in coal fields. Good news for these distressed communities. It'll be a boon for coal field jobs outside of coal, and they won't go anywhere because windmills and solar are a joke. He probably getting a big old payoff. Manchin said that this invests in the technologies needed for all fuel types, from hydrogen, which, by the way, is not tenable at all, nuclear, which we're already using, but we are no longer near there, renewables, nonsense, fossil fuels, bullcrap, energy storage, that's electric and batteries. I got a little bit more on this, including the treacherous Joe Manchin coming up in a few, and then we've got a whole bunch of other stuff to get to, including the American Association of Pediatrics and their continued push towards mutilating children is facing some major headwinds, and that also needs to stop. Let's take a break. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show. Okay, so we've got a lot of stuff to get to on the show, including Ron DeSantis. There was a big announcement about Ron DeSantis. He was going to say something really big. Well, the news is that he is suspending a state attorney who was funded by George Soros for failure to prosecute criminals, among other things. And so we're going to hear about that very shortly. Also, American Academy of Pediatrics is pushing trans-identifying teens towards the nuclear option of puberty blockers and hormones and eventually surgery. We'll get into their big conference happening in Chicago, what they're attempting to do to America's children that should result in this agency being shut down, should result in pediatric surgeons who would consider such procedures before a child reaches puberty or before their 18th birthday. It should require them to leave the medical field altogether and start working at Walmart. But I don't even think Walmart would have those people. Anyway, that's all coming up on the Rob Carson Show. You hold on, Eileen. You hold on, Claude. We'll be with you after the top of the hour, 800-922-6680. This is the Rob Carson Show.